Welcome everybody, I'm Richard from VegGrower Podcast and this is episode 169, so 21st of May 2018, and this week's title is How I Seem to Have Escaped Peach Leaf Curl. And I thought I'd cover this subject actually, as normally by about this time I'm having real troubles with peach leaf curl on my peach tree. This year it's not been too bad, but I've done something different. I'll discuss that later on, but let's get on with the diary first. Now admittedly in this diary section I've not got a huge amount to talk about, and my reasons for that will become apparent in a bit. But anyway, after work last week, I didn't do a huge amount, if I'm completely honest. I was moving plants around the greenhouse and the potting shed to outdoors and getting them all hardened off and moved and ready to be planted. And of course, that meant watering them. And actually, I've been doing a hell of a lot of watering. I'm praying for some rain, really, because we're low on water overall. Now, at the weekend, again, I did not do much gardening. It was my wife's birthday, and my wife, I love her to bits, and she's very, very, I want to say tolerant. It's probably a bit too harsh, but, you know, I spend a lot of time doing this podcast and growing food. Growing food is a passion of mine, but the podcast and everything, I really enjoy it. And she, you know, she tolerates my time for that and everything, and I always do say that she comes first. So, as it was her birthday this weekend, she said, I want to do what I want to do this weekend. And I said, absolutely. So, I didn't do a huge amount of gardening, but we went to a Weald and Downland Museum, which is a large museum, open air museum near Chichester. And what they've got there is a lot of houses, barns, water mills and stuff like that. They come from other places, some as far as London, and they've dismantled them and rebuilt them there. And these are historic buildings, 15th century. The water mill, I mean, to have the water mill there, they dug a lake. Anyway, not really a huge amount about gardening with that, but what did happen? We were walking around a couple of these little cottages that they had there, and they had set up these cottages with some vegetable gardens to kind of demonstrate how they would have lived. Well, we walked around them, and these vegetable gardens were kind of cottage gardening. Straight away, I was liking them. And they were a lot smaller than my garden, and it kind of made me think, hang on, this is probably where I need to think more. Anyway, we were walking around them, and the wife turned around to me and she said, this is how I'd like my garden to look, or our garden to look. I went, well, what do you mean? She sort of said, cottage gardening, natural, you know, not regimented and stuff. So, yeah, I kind of went, okay, let's look at how we can do this. I have to say, I did like it. I mean, one of the gardens in particular was rows of various vegetable plants, although herb plants as well, medicinal plants. And right down the back, there was four fruit trees in like a mini orchard type thing. And that garden was smaller than my own garden. So it kind of really got me thinking about that. Now, my garden is obviously a multifunctional thing, so I'm not going to quite turn it over like that, but it did make me think. In the evening, we actually stopped off at the allotment just to give everything a good water, which it did need. Now, I shouldn't have left it so long, and I should have been there a bit sooner to water everything, but I didn't. And actually, that's the only time I visited the allotment last week, which is very bad of me. Now, Sunday, we were out all day again. We visited the castle, nothing really vegetable related, but being a Sunday, everything closed early, so we got home in the evening, and it was still light. And I had to obviously clean out the chickens and the quail, like my normal everyday thing. it was still light, so I planted some tomato plants into the vegetable patch, just three, two Crimson Crush and one Marmalade. Now, I've actually made a video on this, which will be out tomorrow, Tuesday. And this video is how I plant while avoiding chicken damage. And I said about this last year, where I cut the bottom off several pots and stick those in the soil and plant into those. And what I found with the chickens, the most of their damage comes from when they're scratching the ground, you know, like they do. And this seems to stop them. Now, today, this is why this podcast is very late going out, but today I got home and one of my female quails was barely moving. I grabbed her out. Last few days, she has seemed a bit withdrawn. So I grabbed her out, and I actually thought she was dead, but she was still alive. She just barely moved. So I've moved her indoors. I've put her into a cage on her own with some water and some food. I don't think she's going to make it tonight, to be honest, but she's drunk a little if I make her drink it, but otherwise she just wants to lie there and not do anything. Her legs do move, but she's every now and then she just gets these twitch where everything moves, and then she'll just lie there motionless for a bit, heavy breathing. She might close her eyes or she'll open her eyes from time to time. I don't know. I'm worried about her, if I'm honest, but I don't think she's going to make it, if I'm honest. And that's Joan, one of my females. Anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens there. As you can see, I'm a bit emotional, which is not good. Anyway, so let's take a look at what the camera... Sorry, let me rephrase that. That is the diary taken up for the today. Let's take a look at what the calendar suggests to do for this next week. Okay, so the calendar reads, tall bearded irises are at their best this month. Ensure that they are well supported, and once they have finished flowering, cut back the stems and give a top dressing of general fertiliser. Trim the leaves off. Iris eugenicularis. Sorry, I can't pronounce that very well. Near to the ground so that the sun can bank and ripen the rhizomes. Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied today. So that's what the calendar suggests to do. Now, again, not vegetable-related, kind of flowering. So, yeah, I'm really looking at getting a different calendar if I'm going to continue this next year. So, yeah. Now, before I get on with talking about how I've avoided peach leaf curl, just a little update about grills. Now, I mentioned last week she did not seem herself, although she had perked up because she was trying to come indoors. That was obviously my white chicken. Well, yeah, she's much better now. She hasn't laid an egg yet, but she's back to her normal self and in charge and what have you. So I think she may have got ill or something, which may be related to my little quail. I'm not sure, but we'll keep an eye on the quail. But yeah, Grills is back to herself. So thank you to everyone that was sent me the concerns and thoughts. So, peach leaf curl. Now, this year, I've actually seemed to have avoided it. Well, so far. I won't say avoided it. But every year for the last few years, I have got it. And last year, I seem to remember, it was about this time that I had to remove so many leaves that the tree itself just struggled. It was pretty bare. And the trouble with peach leaf curl is that most treatments are banned, and the only way I've found to deal with it is to remove infected leaves in the past. But what is peach leaf curl? Well, it's a fungal disease that affects peach, nectarines, almonds, and kind of trees in that family. Now, it's actually a waterborne fungus spread by rain, a bit like blight. Kind of very similar in many ways, except it's not the same thing. And this peach leaf curl, well, it kind of says it in the title, doesn't it? It makes the leaves curl over and they kind of blister and go pink. And when I first got it, I didn't actually realise what it was. I just thought it was something the tree was doing. The pink itself is actually really quite pretty if you were to leave it, but it is not good for the tree, of course. And as I said, in the past, whenever I've seen a leaf or sign that I'm getting an infection, I've just picked off the leaf and burnt the leaf. And then I've kept removing every leaf until every sign of the infection is gone. Last year, as I said, I had to remove so much of it that it didn't leave a tree with very many leaves. And that is why I think I produced very little in the way of fruit. Years and years ago, I used a Bordeaux mixture, which I brought literally the year before it was banned. Well, now that it's banned, I have heard recommendations of other copper mixtures, but the general consensus is that there is no now treatment for peach leaf curl. I remember reading, and I've seen this on my trips when I go out to some old Victorian gardens, that the Victorian gardeners, they would generally grow their peaches or other trees in that family against a south-facing wall, trained against them, often fan-tailed. And that was obviously to create a warmer microclimate to produce better peaches. But quite often above the wall, they would have pieces of metal sunk into the wall. And these metal would allow the gardeners to slide in panes of glass. And this glass would just create a shelter above the tree, which kind of stopped the rain landing on the foliage. And that was their trick, I guess, to avoid peach leaf curl. Of course, they would grow some in greenhouses as well and things like that. Now, this is obviously a way of looking at it in a way of how can we use it this day in age. Now, my peach tree is it's only a little one, but it was in a pot, or it is in a pot, I should say. So I simply moved it into the greenhouse. I think this year I moved it about March, if I remember correctly. And I think that was a little late to do it. I should have done it around November. But that's when I plan to do it this year. Now, we're still in a greenhouse at the moment, and I will probably move it outside next month. But by moving it into the greenhouse, so far I have suffered with very, very little peach leaf curl. Now, I have had a few leaves. Of course, I still use rainwater to water my plants. So there's probably a little bit of that. But being in a greenhouse, it's probably a bit warmer. That it doesn't get quite... the water doesn't sit on there quite as long. But also, it's not raining on top of it, which seems to be the main problem for peach leaf curl. Now, this has kind of led me to conclude, and this is just probably common knowledge, and many experienced gardeners will say, yeah, I knew that. Preventing the rain from landing on the foliage by either putting it in a greenhouse or putting it in a shelter of some kind, there'll be no need for chemicals. And that's kind of where my head is gone now, and it's proved to me this year that it works, and all I've got to do is think about it, move it in, and then move it out when the time's right. Of course, if your tree if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're saying, my tree's in the ground, how do I stop this? You know, I can't move it into the greenhouse. Well, what you need to do is construct some sort of shelter. Now, if it's up against a wall, you could probably do something similar to what the Victoria Gardens would do, where a bit of metal and a glass pane above, or plastic even. Just something that stops the rain landing on the leaves. If it's not up against a wall, then perhaps a large four-posted shelter frame built around it with a cover on top. Again, a bit of plastic or something, and that should work. Now, if your tree is, of course, very, very large, then that's going to be some shelter. But, yeah, that is how I have avoided peach leaf curl issue, just by moving it into the greenhouse, just a simple thing like that. And I will be doing it again next year, and a year after, and a year after. Okay, so I am going to wrap up now. A little bit short, I'm afraid. Sorry there hasn't been much gardening to actually talk about, but there are times that priorities take over, of course. But anyway, I've got plenty planned for this week. So next week I'll be coming back with a pretty bumper lot of diary to talk about, and hopefully I'll be able to let you know how Joan the quail has done. Don't forget to visit my website, thevegrowpodcast.co.uk. You can leave comments, find recipes and various things like that. Contribute if you wish as well. If you have any suggestions or comments, or would like to share with me how you've avoided peach leaf curl as well, I'd love to hear different methods. You can email me at richard@thevegrowpodcast.co.uk. There's a Facebook group, The Veg Grower Podcast, and a Facebook page as well. Join up for all those and send me messages that way as well. Twitter, The Veg Grower Pod. Yeah, Instagram if you want to see some photos. Well, I haven't done many photos lately. I've got to do some more. But yeah, love to hear from you. Always do. It's always a pleasure. And anyway, until next week, please take care. And I'll see you again next. Oh, one more thing, sorry, before I sign off. Obviously, next Wednesday, the 30th, I said I was joining the Bald Explorer live show. Well, that's still happening, except he's changing the name to the Vobes Show in a different page, just separating it from the Bald Explorer. Please do come along to that, the Vobes Show on Facebook page, live show, and we're coming direct from the allotment, be getting the barbecue going. But yeah, please do come to that. And anyway, please take care, and I'll see you again next time.